Hello, everyone. Welcome to our AOC BMNR podcast. My name is Lachlan, and I'm a fourth-year medical student and a co-chair for the AOC BMNR Public Relations. I will be the host for the podcast today. With me here is Dr. Peter Park. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Park. It's my pleasure to do the podcast with you today, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lachlan. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And before we go ahead with some questions, I just want to give a quick introduction about you to the audience. Is that okay, Dr. Park?
Sure.
All right. So Dr. Park was born in South Korea and moved to London, Ontario, Canada at the age of 10, where he did his undergrad at the University of Western Ontario in the Bachelor of Medical Science. He did his medical school at Kansas City University and his internship at the University of Washington in Seattle. He is now a BGY2 in the BMNR program at Washington University in St. Louis. Is the information correctly describing you, Dr. Park?
That's correct.
All right, awesome. Thank you again for being here with us. And we are going to go ahead with our podcast. And in this podcast, I will try to explore your journey in matching into the field of BMNR, as well as talk just a little bit general about BMNR as a resident in general. And are you ready, Dr. Park?
I am, yeah. I'm excited to do this episode. I love podcasts, and it's probably one of the main medium through which I get info. So happy to do this for anyone who's interested in BMNR, especially all the DO students. So hopefully we can provide some useful information.
Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, so how did you know about BMNR as a field when you were a medical student? And could you describe your journey in discovering this specialty and matching into this awesome field?
Yeah, so I actually knew about BMNR before even starting med school. One day, I sat on the computer and just Googled specialties in medicine. And one of the specialties that came up that I didn't know too much about was physical medicine and rehab. So the more I read about it, the more I became interested. And actually, before I even decided to apply to med school, I wanted to be a physical therapist. And so I thought, oh, this is interesting. And the more experience I got through medical school, through rotations, I realized that it was a good fit for me and that it's a very holistic field that looks at the function of individuals, and you deal with not only the medical comorbidities, but also how a patient's going to live his or her life. So that, yeah, my story is not too dramatic like some people's, but it was just something that I found early on that piqued my interest and kept my interest for a long time.
That's very great to hear. Actually, some friend that also want to do PT, and then they go to med school, and also that how they discover BMNR as well. And a very similar story. I'm glad that you discovered this awesome field. And yeah. I know that BMNR is very diverse as well, and with a lot of subspecialty. What are some of your specific interests right now that you interested in, specifically in the field of BMNR, and what makes you focus on these topics?
Yeah, so like you said, lots of subspecialties. I would say most common interests among PMNR residents and candidates are pain medicine and sports medicine, but there's also fields like pediatric medicine. You can subspecialize in the spinal cord, brain injury, even cancer medicine. So, I'm leaving out a few other specialties, but yeah, very broad, which was also one of the reasons why I pursued it, because I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, and I'm still there. I feel like every month that with the new rotations I'm doing, I'm finding out more about myself and my interests in the patient population. But I went into it thinking that I would do pain medicine or sports medicine, but every area is so interesting that I see myself doing all these things in practice, and it's kind of hard to figure out, okay, is this really possible? Is this really feasible? But right now I really like the musculoskeletal patients that I see in clinic and the procedures that you do with that. And also the asset that we would learn through training in pain medicine to be able to offer patients something more interventional. So I think sports and pain are my top interest right now. But then, like I said to you earlier, I'm on spinal cord, and really taking care of these patients has been fun so far this month. So I don't know, it keeps changing. But so far, I've enjoyed every facet, and I think sports and pain mainly drew me into this field.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And definitely, like, you're going to change your mind, and you don't know, like, when you go, you have a mind of a certain specialty, but when you get into, like, other thing in PM9, you're probably going to get even more, like, attracted to that specialty. So, yeah, and I totally agree, you keep an open-minded, and it's the same thing for me, like, right now, just keep an open-minded as well. What are some of your favorite moments as a BM&R resident that really speak volume and confirm your aspiration to become a physiatrist?
So the reason why I chose BM&R, I would often say, is because of the people, whether it be the people that you work with or people that you work for. So I love spending time with my residents, and right now it's my first inpatient month of the year, because the first few months I was on outpatient. So sometimes residents are dispersed between this clinic, that clinic. And so this time I'm in the rehab unit with two of my PGY2 colleagues, and we have a great time every day. I look forward to going into work and spending the time with them while doing work. So, time with my co-residents is a plus and a highlight. And then the other highlight being just the patients that I work with, who are very motivated people. These are people that have undergone very traumatic experiences in their lives, as you know. And so really to partake in their care, to get them back to their lives, is definitely rewarding and enjoyable. And we don't have to just focus on, oh, your hemoglobin is 6, so we're going to transfuse you. We talk about things that are other than just medical, and something that pertains to their life and makes them who they are. So I really enjoy that.
That seems like you really enjoy your residency program right now, especially like as a resident, BM&R residents. So switch gear a little bit. Could you give a quick rundown of your program curriculum, like from like BGY2 to BGY4?
Yeah, so not everyone's actually familiar with this, but PM&R, most programs are advanced, meaning you start your PM&R training as a second year resident, and you will have done your intern year elsewhere in prelim medicine, prelim surgery, or transitional year. And usually ACJME mandates that you have X number of inpatient months between PGY2 to 4, and the others can be outpatient services. And so you'll have a mix of, in the 3 years or 36 months, mix of inpatient brain injury, inpatient spinal cord, inpatient general rehab, like post-surgical deconditioning, et cetera. And then you'll also have outpatient services like the musculoskeletal clinic, the sports medicine, sports injury clinic, pain medicine, EMG clinic, prosthetics and orthosis. So I think that's a good way to break it down. So inpatient with a lot of acute issues that PM&R sees, and then outpatient services that I just mentioned.
Okay, I see. And I just want to ask you a little bit about what's the typical call schedule as a PM&R resident?
Yeah, so call is nothing like you see in surgery or other medical fields. I think a lot of people that pursue PM&R value lifestyle, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're humans, we have other interests besides work every single hour of our lives. So call schedule is usually very forgiving to a very good lifestyle. And most programs will have no call during outpatient rotations. And then during inpatient rotation, I don't think most programs have call more than 2 weekends per month. So and I'm just generalizing here. I don't know every single program's call schedule, but and everyone's call schedule differs between the year of training they're in. But yeah, usually you take call during inpatient to cover the census that's admitted, and it's usually one weekend where you'll have to work and maybe one day of the week. So very nice in general.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I heard a lot of program, but this call schedule as well. And it's seemed to be less than like internal medical surgery, and it's more intense. And right now I know that we're in the pandemic situation right now. And how do you think that the COVID-19 have affected PM&R in general?
Yeah, so since PM&R, like I just mentioned, a lot of it is outpatient, meaning it's a lot of elective clinic visits, elective procedures. So I know that a lot of outpatient services have been affected, whether it be in surgery at major hospital surgical centers or even in PM&R clinics. So I think it was a rough time during March all across the nation where clinics were shutting down and it turned into telemedicine visits for most outpatient visits. But right now, with the right measures in place, people are, we're starting to see more people in clinic and doing more procedures. So hopefully we're going to return to the norm at some point, doing all the right things to protect ourselves and the patients. But luckily, we haven't been too profoundly affected with training so far. It's not like we have nobody to take care of, because people still need rehab. People still need to get better. So sometimes in the gym, we'll limit the number of people in the gym to 5 patients per hour. So yeah, with the right measures, we're still trying to get people better back to their lives.
Yeah, definitely the COVID situation has been like something that in everyone's mind right now, and hopefully we can get back on track soon. And can you describe a typical day of a PM&R resident?
Sure. So like I said, inpatient and outpatient are very different entities. So inpatient, usually around 9 a.m., which is very good compared to some other specialties that run at 5 and get signed out at 5. But we'll usually chart check, make sure everyone's vitals are looking good, and then see if any consulting services have left any recommendations. If there's any major overnight events, we take note of that. And then after we see the patients, go through all the plans, any changes in medication. For example, if a spinal cord injury patient's having increased spasticity, now how do you evaluate for that? Is it because of a potential UTI? Is it because our medication regimen is not optimized? So address all those issues, put in the orders, call any consults you may. And that usually takes an hour and a half, depending on how fast your team likes to round. But by noon, everything is done in the morning, and you start to work on notes, because that's what the medical world wants you to do, document and chart. And then if you have any admissions in the afternoon, you have any discharges, discharges should happen earlier, but any potential incoming patients, you read up on those and get ready for that, and tend to all your patients' need throughout the day. See them in person in therapy, work with them directly in therapy sometimes. So that usually passes the time in the afternoon. And we are usually done everything and sign up by 4:30. So the days are not too grueling, but definitely it's constant. And I would say that's how an inpatient day goes. Outpatient, you are seeing patients pretty much from 9 to 4, 9 to 5. And depending on what service you're on, you might be seeing a new patient for an acute hip issue that they started noticing after a gymnastics event or a football game where they injured their knee. And then you can also have a lot of procedures, outpatient procedures like EMG, joint injections with ultrasound or fluoroscopy. You can also do acupuncture if your attendings do those, and trigger point injections. Other more conservative interventional procedures can be done throughout the day as well. So clinic is pretty predictable, and inpatient is pretty organized as well, and different level of care, obviously. But I think that kind of sums up well how our days go in PM&R.
Wow, that's a great description that you have as a day in life, and I really appreciate that you take your time to explain to us about that. All right, so how is the life in St. Louis, and what is the cost of living in the city like?
Life is good in St. Louis, believe it or not. I did my intern year in Seattle, as you mentioned, so I met a lot of people from both coasts, and people really dismissed the Midwest for some reason, but I think it's really underrated. I did med school in Kansas City, so I know Missouri very well. Food scene is highly, highly underrated, and that's coming from a Korean, which speaks volumes. But lots to do here, lots of colleges around here, so many young professionals and also other professionals in different fields, and many good areas of the town where there's lots of restaurants, lots of bars, and things to do, whatever your interest may be. Cost of living, depending on where you live, it varies, but very, very much reasonable. And the area very close to the hospital where I'm at is tends to be a little more expensive, but people from the coast will probably laugh at how cheap it can be to afford something nice. And the more the farther you get from the main downtown area and the central West End area, it becomes cheaper. So for people that have families, I think it's a good option. And if that's a concern, then it should be conducive to their budget.
Oh. Wow, yeah, that's very good insight into live in the Midwest.
Have you ever been to St. Louis?
So personally, yeah, I did. I had my brother-in-law actually from Missouri. Isn't it Columbia? It's not. Mm-hmm. He's near there. So when I go to the airport, so I have to go to St. Louis first, and then like go travel to his area. So yeah, I kind of like in St. Louis a little bit. So
yeah. It's too bad because right now there's not too many sports going on, but that's also a good thing if you like baseball, if you like hockey. Too bad the Rams are gone, but MLS team soon. So and also I love soccer, so I can play pickup indoor, outdoor.
Okay,
I play 3 times a week, so another plus.
Yeah, very active. I see.
Yeah.
Do they have like a big team as St. Louis for soccer?
Yeah, so the MLS team is going to be starting play, I think, sometime in 2022 or 23. COVID kind of changed things, but I may see them in their first year.
Yeah, we have a pretty good team here, Atlanta, as well.
Yeah, we do.
All right, and I just want to ask you a little bit, like, what do the resin, like you said, you are very active, like after residency and do play soccer, but what do the resin usually do in their free time here at St. Louis? And how often do they hang out together? Do you get hang out together?
Yeah, so I think depending on what the residents' interests are, that may vary. So out West Coast, people love hiking because there's a lot of hiking to do. But here, not as much hiking, but we have a soccer team within our residency program, so we play soccer together. We go out for dinner and drinks, explore the food scenes, because like I said, the food scene is very underrated in St. Louis and Kansas City. And so just go to all the hot spots and see what they have to offer, or just hang out at home, cook, hang out with with each other and significant others. So good camaraderie here, and lots of places to explore. And we're pretty close to some national parks and nature if we are willing to drive. So sometimes we can do that if we want to. But I think that just brings all this to that one point of make sure you like the residents that you'll be potentially working with and that are above you, because that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good advice from you, Dr. Park. And what kind of research opportunity are available for, like, let's say, BMI resident in general that you know?
Yeah,
of?
So research, PM&R, very small field, very up and coming field. So there's a lot to be discovered. And every day I'm learning things, questioning things that we still don't know answers to. So I think if you pick a niche like spinal cord, brain sports, you'll realize that there's so much that we still have to learn and establish guidelines for and try to find the best outcome for patients of specific conditions. But essentially reaching out to faculty will facilitate any research opportunity that you might be willing or wanting to pursue. Often faculty will have projects that they have going on, whether it be an ongoing randomized controlled trial or a study design that they haven't yet implemented or submitted for IRB approval. And you can, the volume is saying zero. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you, yeah.
You can also do case reports of interesting patients that you've seen. I submitted one report to AAP this year for an interesting case and a patient. So it doesn't, a lot of people think, oh, research, I have to come up with a study design and I have to enroll 1,000 patients and carry this out for 5 years. That's not really how it's always done. That's very extreme and difficult, but things like case reports, things like submitting abstracts and joining in on things that are going on, depending on what your institution and seniors have available. And also reaching out to faculty will facilitate things in residency. And I think that's something that every resident should take advantage of.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And yeah, research is going to be a big help for like residents training as well, in terms of like asking questions relevant to clinical practice. So one of the issues of the fourth-year medical students facing right now is getting experience in BM&R and experience working with different programs across the country. How would you approach the problem if you're in the shoes of fourth-year medical students right now?
Yeah, so obviously very difficult, very unfortunate that not everyone can do away rotations at certain institutions that they might be interested in. But it seems like a lot of programs are reaching out to students, which is great. Before, we had to reach out to programs to apply for away rotations. Now they're proactively doing it. So take advantage of that. Try to engage with them on social media or partake in their virtual OA rotations and get your name and face out there, get to know the residents and the attendings, and just try to do as much as you can to increase exposure to maximize your chance of getting an interview and potentially getting the residency spot. And I would also, if it were me, I would increase the number of apps that I would submit, because interviews are virtual. You don't have to pay for that plane ticket. You don't have to pay for that hotel. So I think that also works to the applicant's advantage. And the true disadvantage is the fact that you don't get to see a true picture of how the program is, how the facilities look. But again, I think the programs are doing a good job of, at least some of them are getting good word out there about their programs. And I feel like now many people have profiles. You can reach out to residents. I know certainly our program, we would be happy to answer any questions through our Twitter page or personal emails listed on the website. So yeah, just try to do as much as you can to maximize your chance of getting that exposure, getting the interview, and ultimately matching.
Yeah, thank you so much for those advice. That's a very good advice there. Okay, so when I attended residency fair or private Zoom event from different BMR program, it is only wise for students to ask like questions, you know, to like learn more about the programs, especially for the purpose of finding like is a good fit program for them or a good fit for the program in general. What are some good questions that you would highly recommend a student to ask a program, especially during the time of this interview seasons?
I think it's hard to know what you want to do exactly in PM&R because I still don't know exactly what I want to do. But if you have an idea, make sure you ask about how the graduates match into the prospective fellowships or practice type of practice that you want to pursue, and also what kind of fellowship options are available at that institution. And because I think that really gives you a good idea of, is this residency program going to really help me achieve my career goals? Because that's what you want to do. You want to make sure you go somewhere that's going to help you fulfill your career goals. Another thing that I would also encourage is be more specific about specific rotations, because as med students, we don't know anything and we just go, oh yeah, you hear, oh, we're very strong in pain, we're very strong in MSK, but what does that mean? So be a little more specific. Oh, who's an attending that you like, and what do you like about her or him? And you can also ask, how many procedures did you do on that MSK rotations, and or how much autonomy do you have with each procedure? So I think as a resident, in hindsight, I would have asked more specific things to help me gauge my interests. And lastly, whatever else you want to ask to gauge how happy they are in the program, because that's very, if not the most important factor in residency, with issues of burnout and how unsatisfied people might be in their field. Just try to gauge in your best effort and in all honest effort to see how happy they are, so that you can also be happy. Part of that is on you, obviously, but it helps to have a nice environment where people lift each other up and help each other when things are tough, and share the same values and get along well outside of work.
Yeah, thank you so much. So yeah, those are the questions that definitely worth to ask the program. This is just a more like my point of view, like a more pessimist point of view for me. But because of the COVID-19 situation right now, that make everyone like very difficult. But as far as you know, what are some common mistakes that people make might put them at risk for not match into BM&R, or doesn't like make the program feel that you don't interested in BM&R that well?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have to say that I haven't personally been responsible for selection and ranking of PM&R residents here, but basically your ultimate goal is to be a likable person and a candidate that will be a good resident for the patients, and also someone who will be easy to get along with the nursing staff, with the therapists and the faculty members. So being able to get along, cooperate, and demonstrate good teamwork is of high value in PM&R. And I think if you can show that before the interview and also certainly at the interview, that's going to go a long way in getting you ranked high and hopefully getting the position that you want. So yeah, displaying the ability to be a good team player and being able to get along with all the team members, I think those will be helpful going forward. I feel like I personally don't know anyone that didn't match into PM&R, because it's a very holistic field where a lot of people that fit the specialties personalities, I guess, apply. So It's, I can't speak on any specific person's experience, but just being a good team player, not being too self-centered will go a long way in avoiding that unmatched status.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's also another great advice from you. You are a very well resourceful person with a lot of insights in the especially in the field of BM&R and in medicine in general. So where can our listener connect with you to learn more about you and your any other like future project or anything that you want to do in the future?
Yeah, so I, as a med student, I was always interested in reaching out to people that might be helpful or might have good advice for me. So I'm very happy to share my personal email, which is peterkypark@gmail.com. So you can post that on the show notes or however else you might want. But I don't have a huge social media presence in public, just for out of personal preference. But I feel like many people in PM&R are very excited when a med student or someone is interested in PM&R. So I'm very happy to answer questions and exchange text messages. I know I have a lot of students from KCU that have reached out to me that I stay in touch with to communicate. So shoot me an email if you're interested. And I'm not the know-it-all. I'm not the master. I'm not the most qualified, but I'm happy to try to help you, whoever you are, in getting or making this process as seamless and successful as possible. So please share this email with anyone that might be interested, but sorry for not endorsing any Instagram or Twitter handles.
Yeah, I totally understand. It's just personal reference. And I'll make sure to put the email in the description or even on the video, like underneath your name right now for people to contact you. And yeah, Dr. Park, thank you so much for doing this with us today with the podcast. I had a lot of fun doing this. And I also hope that you also feel the same way. Is there any last minute advice or information that you would like the audience to know or that we have not covered yet in the podcast so far?
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. This was really fun too. And like I said, podcasts, I love podcasts. I listen to them every day. And hopefully if this helps one person and their application, then I think we've done our job. But last minute advice for anyone that we haven't covered. I feel like the most common question is that I get nowadays is how should I go about this interview process? And I would just say, do as much as you can to help yourself. And that means, you know, if you're on the fence about applying to a program, go for it, because you can always turn down an interview, but you can't recuperate an interview that you never got, you know? So maximize your chances with everything that you can control. Be the best version of yourself that you can be. And my last point, now that I'm 2 years into this, well, technically one, but now I'm an actual resident in PM&R, I can attest that it's a great field, great work-life balance and great people with great patients. And I find what I do really rewarding. So hopefully if they listen to the last minute of the podcast, they'll realize that what they're about to pursue is a good and noble field. And so you've heard it from at least one resident that they're happy doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that's very awesome. And thank you, though, for, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. And I hope that I will be able to see you again soon, maybe like during the interview trail. And have a good night at the park. And thank you again for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Props to you for doing what you do. And thanks for helping everyone interested in PM&R.
Yeah, thank you so much.